Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the roundtable with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver and Frida Hunter. I'm assuming that they are on. They usually are. And let's see, we get here and get started. I just want to say thank you guys for your patience. I thank you guys for well, I should say mothers and daughters and fathers and sons that are out there listening. I thank you for being patient with me and with our staff. It's now thought of their own. You know, life has just picked up and things are happening and God is just moving. So a lot of adjustments are being made, and I appreciate the patience. And last week, not being able to get on fully, logistics and buildings, you know, something that I'm really going to have to pay close attention to, because it just get to the point where you can't get connection. You know, the internet is a good thing, but if you can't get on it, then you got a problem. You have a problem. So let me go to the switchboard here this morning. Like I said, thank you guys for listening. And let's see here if I can find Frida. Let's see. Frida, morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
How are
you? I'm doing well. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Glad to hear you back.
Tell you, I appreciate.
Yeah, you have your roller skates on.
I know. I thank God, you know, we've been looking at it for a long time. And that will be some of what we talk about today. But before we get too far, let's just go ahead and give God his due, and then we can move forward. If you would, please, give us a prayer.
Oh, thank you, Father. We thank you today. We thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness, oh God, towards us, oh Father God. We thank you for life, and you come to give us life and more abundantly, oh God. And so we don't want to take that for granted. We thank you, God, for protecting us from dangers that are unseen that we have no idea about, oh, Father God. And we just bless you, God. We thank you, Father God, for just loving on us. And we take the time to acknowledge you and to commune with you, oh, Father God, and recognizing you, oh, Father God, for you're the source and our strength and for our life, oh, God. We pray and we thank you, God, for every mother and every daughter, oh God. We thank you, God, you know every concern and every need, oh God. And we speak, oh Father God, life, which is Zoe, oh God, and every person, oh Father God, that might, oh God, feel down or downtrodden or discouraged, oh Father God. And we say, oh God, to speak to the mountain and cast our cares unto you, oh Father God. We can speak to the mountain and command a mountain, whatever the problem is, the situation, to be thy removal. We give it to you, O Father. We thank you, God. We say, why thou cast down, O my soul? We put our hope and our trust in you, O Father God, that you are concerned. You provide for the birds, O Father God, and the flowers, and how much more would you provide and care for us, O God? So we just thank you, God. We bless you today. We thank you, God, for what we're doing in the life for Mothers and Daughters Faith Trust and Ministries, O Father, as we, oh God, are providing, oh God, the opportunity for mothers and daughters to advance, oh Father God, and to increase economically, spiritually, oh God, in every areas in their life, oh Father God, to enrich, oh God, their families, their communities, their neighborhoods, and around the world. And we bless you, oh God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives, and we give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's awesome. I tell you that it's the only thing we just have to just really just stand and know that God is God. You know, God is God, and his word is all that we have, and we have to believe that. And then we just stand back and
That's
watch
right.
it unfold. Thank you for that prayer this morning, and I'll come back to you later on and as I get into the message, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. And Cynthia, I'll come back to you too. I'm going to do an open mic between you and I and Frieda later on today. We're going to try that again today. So we can, but I want to go into a little detail about what's going on. I tell you, God is just blessing us in so many different ways. I just thank him this morning. I said, Lord, you know, how long have we asked and prayed and asked and prayed? And it dawned on me, okay, you've asked. Don't keep asking. You know, sometimes we just keep going on and on and on. Each time we ask and pray, you're taking it back. You're taking it back. You ask, you pray on it, and then you move on and believe it and just go. Keep moving. Don't even worry about it, because then that's wavering in some way, and wavering is, it brings about, you know, we all have our lessons to learn and in this life, and as we get another day, another opportunity, you know, it's just a grateful opportunity to serve God. And I say that because, you know, we lost a cousin this week, and I didn't get to go to the funeral yesterday, but my daughter went, and she says, Mama, the funeral was 3 hours long. People came from everywhere just to say goodbye, you know. Wonderful person. Everybody just loved him. But did he get what he wanted done? Did he, you know, fulfill all that he wanted, all that God required? He did something right. He had a lot of people there cheering him on. But when I think about today and think about another opportunity that God has placed before me and having to actually stand in the midst of a storm, it puts a challenge before you, you know, because, you know, even though you see the manifestations of the Word of God unveiling right before your eyes, don't you think for one moment the enemy is not going to try to set up a trap? He will try to set a trap every time. He's going to try to stop you, to block you. He knows that you're saved. He knows that you're a child of God. But he's not going to let you just walk around here and just live the life of Raleigh, eat the good of the land without some hiccups, without some indigestion, some type of discomfort. His job will not be done. He's just like, oh, no, you saved, but you're not going to just be walking around here all smooth and dancing through the lilies. My job is to plant some thorns. My job is for you to stick something to stick in the bottom of your feet so that you will have to hop for a little bit, you know. But with all of that, you got to keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. I am learning so much in the last few weeks, a few months of my life, that it's just really unbelievable. I learned what to do and what not to do. God has a way. You can get all the PhDs you want. You can get all the masters you want, undergrads, certificates. You can be certified in any area you want. It doesn't matter. You're still going to be challenged. You're still going to be challenged on your spiritual walk with God. To try to put a doubt in and to test you. And, I mean, you know, come on now. We understand the enemy tried to test Jesus, and we are nowhere close to perfection as he was and is. And yet the enemy tried to test him. So you know, you know we're going to be tested. So God has me in a school of life, spirituality, physical, mentally, and he's presenting different versions of the view right before my eyes. And then I'm being tested. Can you withstand that? Can you do that? But the one thing that I do have, and that's the Holy Spirit. Whenever there's something I need to know, that's where I go. I listen, and whatever I get from the Holy Spirit, that's my answer. And I've learned that I have to do that even more now as I venture out into this new world of ministry, Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, along with the business, Full Ministry. I'm your host. I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the round table. And I want you to take a moment and just think, who can I text right quick and ask them to join us? Have them call 347-539-5078 to listen. That's 347-539-5078 to listen. And if you want to participate in the conversation, simply click 1. I like the fact that, and of course, you know, like I said, get your pen and paper and your favorite drink and to sit back and relax, because what I imagine in my mind is I imagine a round table that's so big that it really covers the world, and mothers and daughters are just sitting around the round table, just see the earth and cut it in half, and that's the tabletop, and just see mothers and daughters around that tabletop around the world, and we all coming together for one purpose, and that is to worship and praise God and also to get instructions. That's what we come to God for, instructions. What do we need to do today, and how do we do it? We need instructions to get through this day. And each day, you got to come for a renewed amount of instructions. Today's not going to work on what you had yesterday, because you're going to experience different things today. So each day, we got to come before the throne and come before God and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? And especially mothers, when we have daughters, our children, I should say, just sort of be broad enough. But we focus on mothers and daughters. Just say, if you don't go before God and your daughter doesn't see you go before God and ask God for instructions for her life, then she won't know that's the way it's supposed to be, so that she could go before God and ask God for instructions for her children. That brings us back to Ezekiel 16:44. As is the mother, comma, so is her daughter. Why do I say comma? You know, why do I say comma? It's because that's the way it's written. And that means something. That means something. I want you to stop, pause, think about it. As is the mother. And you stop and you think about that. How are you being mother? Come, stop and think about that. That is the foundation of what we do here at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. Our Faith Trust Ministry. See, I'm so used to saying network, which is a part of the activities. The ministry is the good news. What did God say? What did God say to mothers and to daughters? That's the piece. What did God say? And we don't know that until we read his word and seek his advice. Even Jesus had to go, steal away, and talk to the Father to get the answers. He didn't dare make a decision without going and consulting the Father. He said, that's what he said, I only say what the Father says and only does what the Father does. Tell me to do. But that brings us to our stimulating topic this morning, mothers and daughters standing on the Word of God. Again, mothers and daughters standing on the Word of God. And that's the only way we're going to make it. You got to stand on the Word. You got to believe it. I just use the phrase that God cannot lie. And if he can't lie, that means all his words are based on truth. And so that gives me faith to believe. We have to create some mechanism to hold on to as far as our mind is concerned, something that we know we believe. We believe that his word is true. We believe that he can't lie. So if you just say, well, if he said it, he can't lie, then that's the truth. Now, what does those words mean in particular to you? Now, that's where you have to seek God. Okay, God, you said, your word said, but each of us are unique, and each of us are at a different stage in our journey. Each of us have different exposures. So then the word is so broad, it's pregnant, it's forever birthing in the lives of each of us. It birthed according to your, some have more faith than others, but each of us was given the same measure of faith. And from that, we have to build upon that. We increase our faith by hearing the word of God, by being a doer of the word of God. So when we go out, mothers and daughters, you know, we represent God. And when we get on the radio program on Saturday morning, we're not here for show. We're not here trying to impress anybody. I'm certainly not. Now, I don't think Cynthia or Frito are doing that. We're not here to impress anybody. We're here to please God. God, what is it that you want us to do? Because certainly we don't want your blood on our hands. I don't want to tell somebody something because it's just something I thought of and I think that I know enough that I can create some scenario or a word and give it to someone for them to increase their faith without using the word of God. Mm-mm. No, because if we lead someone wrong, then we're responsible. I just believe that. That's just my opinion, and I believe that. So for all of you newcomers that are coming on at this time, a stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters standing on the Word of God. Standing on the Word of God. Now, last week, like I said, I was out of town. Went to a couple conferences, and also went with the students from GLTC to New York to the UN. I haven't been there, it's been many, 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 many years. I was very young when I went to the UN years ago as a, I think it was a trip during high school. But with that being said, we all basically know what the UN is, and to know that it's a place that all countries come together to make decisions for the betterment of all human beings, that they are, covering in their territories and countries. So it was just interesting to be in that place and have those thoughts, because we know some of the decisions that were made in the UN that led to war, that some led to peace in some areas. Just a place to give some thought to, and definitely some prayer. with that being said, we'll move on. A couple weeks before that, we talked about mothers and daughters casting their cares on God. And, you know, casting your care is really I think, a first cousin to standing. You know, they really parallel each other in thought, in spirit. To cast your care and say, God, I'm going to give this to you. This is bigger than me. I cannot handle this. You know, I've carried this thing. I wake up in the morning with it on my mind. I go to bed with it on my mind. I go to work with it on my mind. I'm tired, God. I cannot carry this any longer. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to cast it over on you. I'm going to give it to you. It's bigger than me. I can't handle it. I have no power within myself to make it change in any way. But I know you can. So in order to do that, at that moment, I just see a person standing, just stopping still and standing, throwing up their hands and says, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. I'm done. You take it. It's bigger than me. Because if I could do something about it, I would do something about it. And in most cases, mothers and daughters, if we could do something about a situation to change it, we would do it if we knew how or what to do. But because we, until we connect to the power of God through Jesus Christ, where all things are possible, that's when change will take place. But if we try to carry it on our own, it's just not going to work. You will carry that thing and carry that thing until finally one moment you'll just say, like you want to pop. Okay, that's all I can take. That's it. I can't take any more. I am done. That's it. You have to turn it over to God, because the enemy will set you up in your conversations. And like I tell you on Saturday mornings when I come teaching you the lessons that I've learned during the week. I'm a student of the intro conversation. I'm not a master of anything. God is the only master that knows it all. We all are on a journey. We all are defining our purpose, to live our purpose within the will of God. And in order to do that, we got to stay focused. And it's so easy for the enemy to stick his leg out and you're looking straight ahead and he trip you into a situation that you didn't even see coming. Because what? We didn't cast it. Or you didn't follow the instructions. A lot of times in my case, God will tell me to do something, and I call myself trying to do it. And then, really, you're not doing it. You're wavering. And then when it hit you, and you go to God and say, well, God, what happened? How did I get over here? I told you. You didn't listen. And that's when most of us will say, something told me not to do that. Well, that something was God. And when you override that, you find yourself in situations where you don't feel very good. You find yourself in situations where you know when you go back and you look at it, you said, I knew better. But sometimes we find ourselves in those situations because we want to help other people. We want to please other people. And then all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself not pleasing God. So this morning when I was in here and I was moving around, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you all know the routine. Most of you that have been with me, like I said, I wish God would give me the topic on Fridays or Thursdays. But if he did, you know what would happen? I would probably end up with a lot of Bessie in it, because I would try to make it sound like or make it fit into something that would be inside of my head, my intro conversations. And that's why he won't give it to me within the hour, because he don't want me to tamper with it. He wants the Holy Spirit to deliver the message. And so therefore, I get it at the last minute. I remember someone saying to me, you know, we'd love to be able to have the topic before we get on Saturday morning. Can you do that? And then what way we could talk intelligently? I said, I wish I could. I'd love to have it myself. I only get it when the Lord gives it to me. And I understand that the more I do this, the more I understand why he does what he does. Because I would get in the way. So this morning when I was moving around, and that brings us to our stimulating topic today, mothers and daughters standing on the word of God. And I thought, okay, and what are we saying about this today? You know, and these are some of the thoughts that came up. It says, over the years, you know, I've heard many stories from individuals, ministers, and pastors on how they had to stand on the word of God. I know you've heard these stories before. How many of you go to church and people are testifying? They're saying, I had to stand. I had to wait. I had to believe God for my healing. The doctor said, I had stage 4 cancer, but I believed God. And I stood on the word of God, and here I am standing today cancer free. Now that's a stand. I know someone that had that test, several people with that testimony. That's a stand. Pastor saying, in order for this ministry to be where it is today, we had to stand on the word of God. We had to pray. We had to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. God will start no work in any one of us that he will not complete. The only thing that will stop it from completion is that we give up, that we faint, and that we do not believe. Wavering is a crippling effect. In order to stand, you got to believe in spite of all the things that happen in your life, in spite of all the tests that you may fail. You pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you say, Father, can we start all over again? He'll renew the time. You hear him say, he'll renew the time. To repent is to renew the time. And you start all over again. But to repent, in my mind, is that when he renewed the time, it's like you never lost it. You're back where you were, and you keep moving. You keep moving. Now, in the physical world of our minds, when we see, you know, someone say stand, you know, physical, in the physical world, your mind will go to a vision of a person just standing upright and being still. You know, just think about that. Just stand. And when you say just stand, you can just, in your image, you can just see a person standing. You see that person standing there, just still waiting. But can you imagine just standing in one spot for years? Are you waiting on the word of God to fulfill itself in your life? Just standing, 40 years, standing. You get nothing done. Your clothes would wear out. Your body would wear out. Your legs certainly would get tired. So when you hear mothers and daughters standing on the word of God, it's a mental and spiritual stand. You're standing within your mind, and you're standing with the word, which is the Spirit of God being led by the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to stand? You know, each of us can come up with our version of stand. There's the dictionary version of stand. And, you know, when you say a word, most people come up with what they know the word means to them, to stand. And if you look at just the dictionary version, it says stand is a place. It's a position. It's a set. It's a locator. You know, it's a rest. So when you think about standing in the spirit, out of all those words, it brings you to the one that says rest. To rest. To rest what, Bessie? To rest on the word. To rest faith that you believe that God will do what he say he will do. So I went further than that. I went into a little research and I said, okay, let's look at what standing on the word in the Bible means. And when I pulled it up, the word stand in the Bible is in there 373 times. Now, that's a lot. That's more than the word mother. Mother's in there about 300 times. So the word stand, 373 times. In the Old Testament, it's in there 282 times, the word stand. The New Testament, 91 times. Now, we kind of know why it's 91 in the New Testament, because we had Jesus on the scene in the New Testament. We had Jesus teaching straight from God. In the Old Testament, it has to come through several different sources. Now, that's just my interpretation of it. You can, you know, of course, seek God for your own. But I said, well, let me just pull out something, because to me it's to stand, it's to wait, to believe, to hold on as they go by. Don't worry about how long it's been, because I used to get into the things of, well, Lord, you know, I've been doing this since 1999 with mothers and daughters, da, 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 but I have not been standing since 1999, so that's the difference. You know, come on. You know, you could be doing something, but when did you start standing? Keep in mind, we were doing mother and daughter bonding network up into 2011 when God said you're no longer mother and daughter bonding network. Now, once you do this crusade and I was ordained, you are now mother and daughter faith trust ministry. So you're talking about less than around about 5 years ago, because that was in September. So it's not even 6 years that I've been standing for the ministry part of it. That's not a long time. But when I look back at it, what I was looking at from 1999, well, that was not the stand that I'm standing on now. So we have to look at, where do we really start standing? When did we stop wavering? When did we stop doing a lot of you and a little bit of God? Because a lot of us are saved, yes, but yet we'll still go to the club and dance the floor down. A lot of us are saved, yes, but we'll still gossip about people. A lot of us are saved, yes, but we still do our brothers and sisters harm, even in our thoughts. So when did you really start standing? So when you get weary and you feel like it's been a long time, stop and take an inventory. When did I really start standing? I couldn't stand for a ministry that I didn't have. I was ministering. But Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries were born out of Mother and Daughter Network concept, which was really the opposite. Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministry were there first, but I wanted to do a lot of Bessie and a little bit of God. I wanted to please the people. I wanted to do social programming. I knew I was called, but I kept doing Bessie. So where are you? What are you doing? Are you doing a lot of you, mother, daughter? We got to come to the point that we go to God and say, God, okay, I'm tired. What is it that you want me to do? It took everything. It took God taking me down to 0.0.00 in order for me to take the stand, in order for me to know that my days were not my own, in order for me to know that I was sent here for a reason, in order for me to know that my calling is on mothers and daughters to minister to mothers and daughters. We all have our own individual calling. Stop trying to do what somebody else is doing. Seek God out. And once you get what you are called to do, then you stand. That's why I don't do anything but mothers and daughters. I don't care if people come to me a lot of times and they're trying to get me to be a part of something else and work mother and daughter into that. No. I was ordained. I was called to minister to mothers and daughters. And I told God, I'm going to stand on that. It could be $10 billion. I will give you $10 billion, Bessie, to forsake the mother and daughter concept and follow me. I will not do it. Because, see, I know it's not money that will save me. It's not money that will heal my body. It is not money that will bring me peace. It is not money that will bring me joy. It is not things that will satisfy my urge. It's the Spirit of God. Only way I'm going to get through to the Father is through the Son. And money can't get me to the Son. It's not money that can buy Jesus for me. It's my faith. I got to believe in what he said. And what he says, I'm going to stand on that. I'm standing on several different rocks in several different places as I sit here this morning talking to you. And I'm not going to move. I had a friend of mine call me last night and we were talking and we've been missing each other with the schedule that I've had in the last few weeks. And finally got a conversation going and she was talking to me and I heard her, but you know, my intro conversations was on some other things and I was going back and forth hearing what she said. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, did you hear what she just said? I thought, oh my God. And I went back and I repeated that. She said, I wasn't feeling good since we came from Haiti. I was just, you know, feeling kind of in and out of it and woozy and just, you know, not knowing. I thought, well, I must have caught a bug and I'm taking something and I'm taking colon cleanse and trying to see what's wrong with my body. And I couldn't figure it out. And she said, my husband said, oh, you just want some attention. She said, no, I really, really, really don't feel that well. And of course she didn't want her little girl to catch it. They are foster caring a little girl. I think she's 50 months old. And she said, well, I didn't want my daughter to catch it, so stay away from her. And yet I wasn't feeling good. And I thought, well, I need to lose some weight. So maybe I just need to lose some weight. So I got a trainer, and after I got the trainer, and we came up with this new eating habit and all kinds of things, I'm still feeling bad. And finally she said, I'll just go to the doctors. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor came back out and told her, you have passed your first trimester of your pregnancy. And she said, excuse me? Yeah. You're in your second trimester. She said, excuse me? He said, well, were you using any protection? She said, no. Well, what did you expect? I think it was a lady. She said, what did you expect? She said, I don't know. What did you expect? I've been married for 16 years. See, she had been waiting, praying, and asking God for a child. 16 years of marriage. 16 years of marriage. She was pregnant when we was in Haiti. I'm telling her story because I wanted her on this morning, but she's flying into Savannah this morning, her and her family, to a funeral, so she couldn't get on. But I'm going to get her on to tell the story because I think, and the way she tells it, it's just going to bless. But I had to tell the story this morning because it blessed my soul. And all of a sudden, here she is pregnant with the possibility of adopting a little 15-month-old girl. Just when she said, she got relaxed, I have my baby, I'm fine. Her and her husband just enjoying that little girl. and now she's the modern-day Sarah. She waited. How many times, she said, have I cried out to God? Why not me? Why can't I have a child? Why'd you do me? Why'd you allow everybody else to have a child? Why can't I have a child? I'm married. I waited. I've done all the things right. I didn't get pregnant. I've never been pregnant before in my life. I followed the rules. Why can't I? My husband and I have a child. And just when you just relax and just sort of give in, just, okay, whatever. I got a baby now. I'll just enjoy her. What happened? That's when God blessed her. Always on his time. So that blessed me. Bessie, no matter where you are in this ministry, no matter where you think you should be in this ministry, just know that God has an appointed time, an appointed place for each of us. And we will, I'll take that back, we shall get manifestations from his word if we don't faint, if we just stand. Standing is believing in God. And I am believing. Last night she prayed for me. She prayed for the ministry. And I felt the Holy Spirit move. Manifestation. I've got to be ready. We've got to be ready as a team. So that's my take on standing. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Hi. What an awesome and interesting concept. I call life God's university, and there's always lessons for us to get, Dr. Fletcher. And this, what you are referring to comes out of Mark 7, 27 through 29, where the mother went to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter. And Jesus just continued in what he was doing. And she humbled herself with her response when she asked him to heal her daughter. But by that same token, she could have taken offense and she could have walked away, because this is what Jesus said. First, let the children eat all they want. He told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. But he didn't say that right away, according to some further research. He continued to do what he was doing. And she stood around, and that's where the stand came in. She stood around and waited till he was finished. And as a result of her not taking offense and not walking away, he healed her daughter. And Dr. Lillian Yeoman, and I'm butchering her name, she said it this way. He was really allowing her to work, to stand, to see if she had the faith. And he was doing surgery on her faith as she waited. In other words, he had to see if she had enough faith to believe that he can do it. Not only did he have enough faith, she obviously had the faith, because standing is challenging. Faith is challenging. Not only did she have enough faith to go to him, she had enough faith to wait on him. She had enough faith to stand around and say, you know what, you can say what you want to say, and I can hear under her breath, I ain't going nowhere until you do what I need you to do. And so she stood there in her boldness after being insulted. She was insulted, even about the dog. I've heard some ministers say he literally called her a dog. But she did not take offense. She did not take offense. She stood right there, and when he was finished, as a result, he gave her what she asked for. He healed her baby girl. And we just got to stand. Faith is challenging. faith, the chapter that I'm reading from this book called The Spirit of Faith, it even said faith is ugly. Because it gets ugly up in there when you're waiting on God. Some days you're crying, some days you're fretting, some days you're running, some days you saying, I ain't doing this. And you just go through a whole metamorphosis when you in waiting on God to do what you believe in God for. But are you going to stand, Mother? I tell my son Keith all the time, I ain't got nothing but faith. I can't do nothing but wait at this point. I know. What else you going to do?
Well, yeah, I always say the movie Officer and a Gentleman, it always comes to my mind. He says, I don't have nowhere to go. I don't have nowhere to go. So we don't have anywhere to go. Where you going? You have to wait.
You ultimately going to come right back to the same place if you're waiting.
Yeah. Or if you leave, you're coming back. Because there's nowhere else to go. Because if it's the will of God, His will is going to be done.
Yeah.
And mess around and try to hold it up too long and you're going to be gone. And somebody else is going to complete it. Because His will get done with or without you. And what
Absolutely.
You say, you can choose. You choose life or death. Do you want to live with me or you want to die with your earthly father? Which one? You choose. Because if you're going to live with me, then you're going to grow. You're going to be stretched. It is a challenge. Trust me. It is a challenge. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I can get another call on here.
Have a great day.
All right. I'm going to get back to you in a minute. One second.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, Frida.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. When you started talking about Stan, I said, oh, my gosh. I said, was she listening to the conversation that I had with a friend of mine, Alexandria? She cares for her mother. She's a soul taker for her mother. And we correspond with each other. She's a person. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
That she's a friend of mine that I had met at a church, Episcopalian, and we met. And so when she found out that I was a person that I loved the beach, she says, oh, my goodness, we have to go to the beach. So we've been talking back and forth to each other. And she said to me, when it rains, it pours. And immediately I said, well, is that your confession? Because if you continue to say that and that's your mindset, that means you're expecting for something to always go wrong. Then I asked her, what scripture are you standing on? And she said, well, what do you mean? And I told her, I said, I remember when I was at a church and a young lady had mentioned to me years ago, well, what scripture are you standing on in that situation? You have to have a scripture that you can refer to, whatever. It don't have to be an obstacle. It could be whatever that it is that you're believing God for to move. You remind God of His word, and through the word is that scripture. You stand on it. How you stand on it, you continue to read the word until it becomes life to you. And then you can be able to memorize it, because what if you're in a situation and you can't take the Bible out because you didn't memorize it? So I had mentioned that to her. I said, and you mutter on it, you meditate on it. And she had never heard that before. And she said, oh, you know, like that. And I said, well, my goodness. I said, I just got finished about 2 or 3 days ago talking to this young lady, and she is a mother and a daughter. And I'm going to be able to have her to listen. She wasn't available because she gets really busy with just being a sole caretaker. She gets frustrated. And so that's what we have to do, even in my personal life. Things that it looks like, oh, my God, well, when is it going to happen? And I think about the situation that you mentioned about with your friend. Immediately when you said that, I thought, what came in my spirit, when she embraced this child into her life, her and her husband, when she opened herself up and was obedient, she took the child in and took and loved that love, then God said, this is your set time. You received it. Now I'm going to get back to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a word.
When she listened to that, I know you weren't listening to me in Alexandria, but that was our conversation.
Wow. But see, that lets us know that we are all on the right track. God wouldn't put us together if we were of a split mind. You understand? So
right.
A lot of times when Cynthia come on, she said, like, Dr. Fletcher, you know, wow, that's what I was talking to the students about yesterday. We have to be in the same mind frame if we are under the same will of God in this particular area in which he's brought us all together to work in. So we're going to have those same similar thoughts, and you just broaden it out. It blessed me the way that you blessed that young lady, because people don't realize, and I didn't realize until I started listening to Pastor Kenneth Hagin some years ago, and he was saying, you know, you could pray all you want to pray. Just keep praying. Well, you're just saying words. You're not going to get any results until you remind God of what he says. And then whatever it is, if you have a healing that you're seeking, get into
right.
the word of healing.
That's
stay
right.
in the word of healing. Let it
on him.
Just filtrate your mind. Just saturate you. Go to sleep with it in your ears.
That's right.
Until it just consumes your body and your
mm-hmm.
face just is filled with healing. He said, because that's what he was doing, running around, healing people. And then all of a sudden he said, well, Lord, my finances, you know, is bad. I'm not eating the good of the land. I mean, you know, my children are suffering. We don't have adequate clothes. I'm running around. My car's not
mm-hmm.
right. Something's not right. The Lord said, well, that's because you're standing on the word of healing. You never stood and trust me in the word of finances. He said, now, so what do I have to do? And the Lord told him he had to align himself with that. He said, well, I align myself right now. He said, it'll take
amen.
Time
that's right.
So it's not our word. It's the word of God. Hold on one moment.
It's the word of God.
Yeah, it's the word of God. Cynthia, you want to add anything to that?
It's all been said. I mean, okay. It just goes back to what you're saying. We all been standing and waiting for our set time with this organization, and we just need to come into agreement that it is now our set time.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, you said it so well with what happened with the young lady. You know, she's just going about her business, and all of a sudden she goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, my, we are in our second trimester. So I don't know what trimester we're in, but I know that because we've been standing, let's agree
mm-hmm.
that this is our set time in Jesus'
in
name.
In the name of Jesus. Yes.
Amen. Yes. That
and, you know,
time.
We've been saying it. We've been saying it separately, but we've never been in one place where the three of us can stand and say it together.
Well, let's say it together. In the name of
yes,
Jesus,
yes.
It's our set time.
Set time. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
And you know, and that reminded me of what I'm learning, one of the lessons I'm learning. And the Lord spoke to me when I was out on travel last week. Put together a prayer council, because I noticed with Dr. Bailey when we're out going and something come up, she'll call that prayer council and she said, okay, the enemy trying to stop us in this area, I need you all to pray. And boy, they get to praying, and I'm telling you, things just turned around. I've seen it. That's why God had me in the midst. I see the things just turn around within an hour. Within an hour, things just change. I'm like, oh, my God, that's why you have me here, to learn to see the hands, see your hands move. And that's one of the things that we're going to put together this week. We're going to select a group of people that's willing to stand for this ministry.
And then we're going to go out, we're going to get us a group of partners that's willing to stand, because you have got to have partners and you've got to have a prayer council in order for any ministry to go, ministry to grow. And what the prime example that God showed me was Jesus. Jesus could have walked by himself, but no, he had 12 people. He had people that would pray for him. He had people that would fight for him. He had people that was out there scouting around, coming back, telling him. He had people that was in his camp. He had 12 people. And I'm not going to stop until I get 12 people this week. That's my mandate. If Jesus had to do it, we certainly got to do it.
Father, we just thank you for it.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank him for our earthly inheritance, for the purpose he's purposed in our hearts. And that has been my prayer for weeks, ladies. I'm just standing and believing God for what he has put in our hearts in order to manifest it. He has given it to us. We have been walking in it. And now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that it is our set time to receive all that you have for the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network and its ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, that's a three-chord bowl there, you know, and nothing can break that. Nothing can break that. We're going to add on to
Amen.
That, and we're going to grow, because God has opened up the way, and we just got to come together, because he can't, if we stick together, he can't pluck us off. He tries to get us when we can get one off by themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And we also got to go, and what I've learned is that I've got to stand and watch and don't deviate. If God said, I want you to do this, like he sent me to be taught by Dr. Bailey, to be taught to sit at her feet, to learn from her. You know, that's the only sole purpose. Then don't go do something else that he told you not to do. See, we have to stay within what he tells us to do in order for the blessings to flow. And anytime we step outside of that, allow people to get us to go outside of directly. That's why Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. If he said, just sit there, sit there. Don't move and go over to the corner and just for a second and come back. No, no, no. Now you done changed the whole order of things. Now you got a different result. So I'm learning. I'm learning, because where we're going is huge. And that we got to stay focused. We got to listen and stay focused in order for the wheels to roll and turn and one groove support the other. So I'm excited about it. I thank God for it. Audience, we thank you for listening to us this morning. We join you. Email me at drbessie1, D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one at gmail.com. We'd love for you to be a part of our prayer partners. We are looking for, I'm going to look for 25 partners to come into the ministry. And those partners will help us, will pray with us, will support it. Because the one thing that we have things that we need to do. And the ministry cannot run without income. And God said, you have got to, he sent me to show me how to set up the ministry, to model the ministry like everybody else. There's not a ministry around that doesn't have partners. And those partners, God will send us. And God will work through those partners to help us achieve the things he wants us to achieve in this ministry. And all we got to do is allow him to use us to preach the word. So I thank you. God bless you. And you all have a great, great weekend. Be careful. Holiday weekend, 4th of July. I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show, ladies. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great weekend. And to our listening audience, whatever you're doing, this, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God by going through Jesus and watching. There's a lot of things going out there. Do not allow yourself to get in the hands of the enemy. Sometimes it's better to just stay home, get a good movie, and talk to God. But whatever you do, be blessed.